2 Timothy chapter 1, and look at verse number 13. All right, I'll read verse number 13, and then you read responsively with me. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Keep on reading here. I'll read verse chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your precious blood that washes away our sin. Now, Father, please, we ask that you would help me as I preach tonight. I pray that, Lord, this would be a help. Strengthen us according to thy word. Lord, please use the truths. And Lord, help us to be a people usable and meet for your use. We love you and we need you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Our purpose is determined by our doctrine in the Bible. What's our purpose as a Christian? It's determined by our doctrine. What's our doctrine tell us? We're supposed to make disciples. And I know you've heard me say that before, but everything that we do is supposed to be centered around making disciples. The most important activity of our church is soul winning. The discipleship program of our church starts in Sunday school. And someone said, you know, well, what's the discipleship of your program? We have many things that we do for people that get saved. But I have learned this: as being a Christian, you cannot disciple people out of church. And I've heard people say, well, I do a Bible study and instead of go to church, or I do this. You can't, look, if they're not willing to sacrifice enough to come to church, then there are other... In other words, you cannot grow outside of church. Do you understand? Their faithfulness to church comes first. If they won't come to Sunday school, do you understand? Then there's not... I'm not telling you to mark them off. I'm saying there's a thinking out there that says the local New Testament church is not important. You can do things outside of the church. And Jesus died for our church, the local New Testament church, and you cannot bypass it. And it's just a thinking out there. Church attendance is very important. As a child of God, here, we're told to be strong two times in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, we read, thou therefore, my son, thou therefore, because of what I just told you in chapter 1, thou therefore be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Then you're found out also in Ephesians chapter 6. We're told the second time. One time God says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Then in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, God says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So we're told to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and we're told to be strong in the Lord. If I use those two verses tonight as our text, I just find this: everyone's not as strong spiritually as they think they are. I read as I was reading Ezekiel, this verse just leaped off of the page. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 30, God says, how weak is thine heart? God asked that question. Ezekiel 16:30, how weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God. This is talking about backsliding and spiritual whoredom. Instead of looking tonight at what a weak Christian is, I want to focus on what is a strong Christian. And I'm so glad when God gives us watershed verses in His Word that sum up the Christian life. There's a simplicity in Christ, and if you ever get to the point, I know this morning Sunday school lesson, I'm going to refer to it twice, was Micah, but there's some wonderful verses in Micah that just bring things all to a head. And I've heard Christians say, "Oh, there's too much. You got to do this and this, and I'm just overwhelmed with all of the." Micah 6 verse 8 says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee?" I love that verse. What does God demand of thee but to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Ecclesiastes has another one of those watershed sermons. As you read Ecclesiastes, when you come to chapter 12, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Love God and keep His commandments. Fear God and keep His commandments." Excuse me. God says, if it gets too complicated for you, just go back to ground zero and go ahead and start focusing, walking humbly with your God. Walking humbly with God. You see, we know what God requires or demands. There is a simplicity that's in the Lord. Never forget the basics. You cannot be a strong Christian without the basics. Now, you don't have to hold up your hand and point to each one, but that's why I hope you can take this home with you. The Christian life is, the five basics of the Christian life is this. First of all, prayer. Nobody'd argue with that. Nobody argues that you're supposed to pray. A good Christian, a strong Christian prays, right? Then it's reading your Bible. Nobody argues with that either. Now, there are some that people argue with, but prayer, reading your Bible, church attendance, tithing, and soul winning. Those are the basics. The key to finding out God's written Word and what God wants you to do outside of the Bible, like where does it say God's direction for a job, or God's direction for a spouse, or God's direction for anything that's not written, you got to do first what's written. And then God shows you what to do outside. If you're not doing the basics, then you can't be led elsewhere. You say that's a strong statement to make. Listen closely. If you'll just focus on the basics of the Christian life, prayer, Bible reading, church attendance, tithing, and soul winning, it's amazing how simple the Christian life becomes. Proverbs 15:19 says this, "The way of the righteous is made plain." Your understanding of the basics of the Christian life determine how correct your service is. For instance, I've heard this. "Well, I didn't come to church because I helped my neighbor." That's not good service. Now, if your neighbor's house was on fire, if it wasn't an emergency, do you understand? Then you used God says, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." I know, but you used a command of God to violate another command of God. And I'm amazed at Christians that don't know the basics. Prayer, Bible reading, church attendance, tithing, and soul winning. You cannot play with church attendance. You cannot play with it. And it's amazing. Well, people say, but this, God would never ask you to... Have you ever noticed in the Bible for a Christian, if you haven't noticed it, that's why I'm here, but duties never conflict. Duties never conflict. When somebody says, "Well, I didn't go to church because I was doing this good thing," careful, that's not good service. That's not good service. Let me say it again. Your understanding of the basics determines how correct your service for the Lord is. When you yield to the Word of God and you allow what God requires of you to arrange your priorities, that makes for a strong Christian. When God's Word makes your decisions, not your feelings, that makes for a strong Christian. God tells us to be strong. I just want you to remember that. What are the basics? Prayer, Bible reading, church attendance, tithing, and soul winning. It's amazing how much falls into place when those things are focused on. Tonight, if I use these two verses, Ephesians 6 and 2 Timothy chapter 2, please know this, though, before we start. A weak Christian does not mean someone that's a bad Christian. Don't take this too far. Well, if you're not strong, then you're not a good... I know weak Christians that are on their way to becoming a strong Christian. Your position is not near as important as your direction. And I've known Christians that knew the basics and were strong in all of them, but they were looking for a way out. Your position, let me say it again, your position, where you're standing, is not near as important as where you're headed. And I know Christians that are not strong in the basics. They're not strong, but they're headed there. Do you understand? They're en route. So don't think that if somebody is a weak Christian, that they're a bad Christian. I don't want that type of thinking. Number one, a strong Christian understands the weakness of his flesh. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In the power of His might. When I read Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, I find not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. What's a strong Christian do? I think one of the first things a strong Christian does is he realizes, I don't want to do this in my strength. I don't want to serve the Lord in the flesh. Jeremiah 17:5 says, thus saith the Lord, listen closely, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Anytime someone starts trusting in themselves, I can do it myself, I can do it my own power, I always find that their heart departs from the Lord and the Word of God. A strong Christian understands the weakness of his flesh. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. A strong Christian knows, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Your heart will lie to you, your heart will fail you, your feelings will fail. A strong Christian knows, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 8. The most dangerous person in the world is a Christian who's walking in the flesh. Romans chapter 8. The most dangerous person in the world. You see, there's lost people. They aren't saved. Then there's saved people who are yielded to the Lord. And then there's saved people who aren't yielded to the Lord. The flesh controls their decisions. Those are the most dangerous. No, the most dangerous people are lost people. The most dangerous people, the people that will cut you the deepest and the most and that will hurt you, are Christians who are fighting God. Because if they'll fight God, they can fight anybody. You understand? As foolish as that is, who'd take on God? They are. A Christian that's walking in the flesh. Look at Romans chapter 8. Ready? Watch this. Thou therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Look down at verse number 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit are the things of the Spirit. Verse number 6. This verse is worth just thinking about. For to be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse number 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. God tells me this. You say, well, what does the flesh do? The flesh always leads you to think, I don't have to obey the Bible. That's a fleshly decision. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, the Bible. It says, I don't have to do that. I know what's better. That's flesh. Now, there's all types of degrees of that. There's vocal, and then there's inward stubbornness. It doesn't matter. All of us have flesh to deal with. All of us have a flesh that says, I don't want to do what God says. The moment I understand that, then I start understanding as a Christian, if I'm going to be a strong Christian, I want to be strong in His might. Can you look at verse number 8? This audit. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I want to be strong in His might. That means anything that's done in the flesh doesn't please the Lord. Listen to me closely. Your flesh is nasty. My flesh is wicked. You know what I've learned in the Christian life?
My flesh can pray. I can pray in the flesh. No, you can't. God says in James chapter 3, you have not because you ask, not because you ask amiss. You're asking fleshly things that God doesn't want you to have. I've learned my flesh can pray. I've learned my flesh can go soul winning. No, you're not. Whenever you go soul winning, you're automatically filled with the Holy Spirit. That's nowhere. Judas went soul winning. He was lost. I've learned your flesh can pray. I've learned your flesh can go soul winning. I've learned your flesh can serve God. And if you aren't careful, you'll pray and do your service in the flesh and not in the Spirit. And what ought to scare every Christian is this: they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's not pleasing to the Lord. Be careful that you don't take spiritual things and then, you know, put a tag to it. And then you end up saying, as far as, well, I do this. Are you doing that in the flesh or are you doing it in the Spirit? You can teach Sunday school class in the flesh if you want. You can help others in the flesh if you want, if you're more interested in your reputation, right? Did you know you can give money to the church in the flesh? They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might tells me I want to rest in the might of the Lord, in the Lord's strength. I don't want to do it in my strength. I want to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Number two. So number one, a strong Christian is understands the weakness of his flesh. A strong Christian also understands God's grace. When I take 2 Timothy 2:1, we looked at Ephesians 6, now 2 Timothy 2:1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This is going to lead to several things. Just think with me. What is grace, first of all? Grace is God's unmerited favor, right? I didn't deserve it, God gave it to me. Whatever I have, by God's grace, He gave it to me without me working for it. That's God's grace. It's by God's grace I have my health tonight. It's by God's grace I can see. It's by God's grace I have His Word. It's by God's grace I'm on my way to heaven. It's by God's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's grace. A good scriptural definition would be of grace, the desire and ability to do the will of God. Somebody who does not desire to do the will of God has no grace. You ever met a Christian like that? Oh, I'm saved. Don't be silly. As far as what? No grace. No grace. The grace, scripturally, Philippians 2:13 says this, it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's God who works in you to want, to will, and to do His will. To be a strong Christian in God's grace then would mean this. It would mean humility is something I have to focus on all the time. James chapter 4:6 says this, He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You know how you get God's grace? You know how to get a desire? You know how you get your heart on fire for the Lord? You humble yourself. Anytime my heart gets cold, that means I'm getting proud. Amen. Anytime I start getting indifferent, oh, who cares? And that can happen to me. That lets me know pride's in the way. Pride's in the way. It's time for me to go focus on who I am, where God saved me from, and think of what a dirty, rotten sinner I am and everything that God's given me. It's time for me to humble down. Time for me to humble down. A strong Christian is strong in the grace of God, which means this, they focus on their humility. I don't deserve somebody helping me. I don't deserve kind words. I don't deserve the thank you. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve it. I deserve hell. And anything I get over hell is a bonus. If I'm going to be strong in the Lord, if I'm going to be strong, I need to understand God's grace and I need to focus on my humility. There's two verses that help me with this, and I want you to look at them tonight. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And then we'll go to 2 Corinthians, 1 Peter chapter 5. Watch this. What does it mean then? And I don't want to talk spiritual talk and then somebody not understand. What do you mean? Be strong in the grace of our that's in Christ Jesus. God says if you're strong in His grace, you humble yourself. And this is what the grace of God means. Watch this. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, that's hard times, that's tragedies, that's trials, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. So verse 9 has the afflictions. Verse number 10 has, after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. What does the grace of God do? The grace of God is the desire to do the will of God. What? If you want to get specific, in the hard times. How do you make it through the stillborn baby? The grace of God. How do you make it through the loss of a parent? The grace of God. In the hard time, in the affliction. After you have suffered a while, God strengthen you and establish you. How? By His grace. And I've heard several people say that, you know, in the deep, there's nothing like losing your dad. There's nothing like losing your mom. And I remember hearing people, everyone's not everybody, but sometimes I'll hear people say at the funeral, I felt God's grace. It was as if the Lord came up and put His arm around me. His grace was there. What is that? That means in the hard times, in the afflictions and in the sufferings, God's grace is the desire to keep on going instead of doing what? Quitting. Well, I'm going through a hard time. I'm hurting. My heart is breaking. My head is spinning. That's it. I'm just going to quit. No, Christian. There's a better... You can choose God's grace. You can choose the grace of God. God's looking to give you His grace if you'll humble yourself. If you'll humble... Can you go to another place? Watch this. How does God's grace work? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So if I'm going to be a strong Christian, I want to be strong in the power of the Lord. And I want to understand how weak my flesh is. Number two, I want to be strong in the grace of God. That means the desire. I focus on my humility and I focus on letting the Lord keep me going and I don't quit. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, watch this. Verse 7, you can read more of this later, but here we go. After, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. That word buffet means beat. Satan had an area in my life where he beat me. This is the Apostle Paul. Most people think it was his eye affliction when he saw the Lord in a bright light and was knocked off the horse. He had eye problems. Some think it was a skin disease. But either way, Paul is saying, I asked God, dear God, this thing in my life, this hard time, this affliction, I could serve You better if You would take it from me. And he said, I sought the Lord to please take it from me. Because Satan is buffeting me or beating me with this thing. Seems like I'm not doing what I could. Keep on reading. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, what a verse, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What is the grace of God? The grace of God is the desire to keep serving God in the hard times. Paul, the Apostle Paul said, God, I could serve You better if I could just see better. But I got to have somebody lead me around. And Lord, every time You inspire Your Word through me to be written, I got to have somebody else help me out with it. And Lord, if You just heal me. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. That affliction I gave you. And if you want to, lest you be exalted above measure, so you don't think too much of yourself. What a beautiful passage. I don't want other people. You know, it's wonderful in your life when you serve God and people say, you ought to be able to say this, I want people to know as I serve the Lord, it wasn't me, it was Him working through me. I want Him to get the glory. And God says, my strength is made perfect when you're at your weakest point. But I want to get better. I don't want to be in a wheelchair. I don't want to be blind. I don't want to be deaf. I don't want this tragedy to keep happening in my family. God says, if you will lean on me and my grace, God says, my grace keeps you going in the affliction and in the hard time. What a beautiful passage. For when, well, can we just finish it? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. And then I wish you had this underlined in your Bible. For when I am weak, then am I strong. A strong Christian keeps on going because, watch this, if I will humble myself and say, God, I don't know what you got going. I don't know what's going on. But Lord, I humble myself. I submit. God, I need your grace. I accept your grace. I don't fight it. Then I'm looking for God to do something in the hard time. You understand? I'm looking for God to use this pain that I'm going through to accomplish something for Him. Okay, Lord, when I'm weak, You're strong. You do the best works through me when my flesh is suffering. So, Lord, I don't know what You got in the future, but I'm going to keep on going. That's the grace of God. That's a strong Christian. Because the alternative is what? Why is all this happening to me? My car broke down. I've lost my job. People are mistreated. That's it. I quit. And instead of accepting the grace of God, pride got in the way, didn't it? I deserve better than this. A strong Christian says, God, I accept your grace. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's what that means. And if you'll accept the grace, humble down, God can use you. Every time I'm in a valley, every time my heart is broken in half, I think this. God doesn't work on credit. You understand? God doesn't give you a good time and then you pay for it with a bad time. Every time I go through the bad times, I always think, mountaintop's coming. I don't know what God has planned. But Lord, this is killing me. And Lord, you must be getting ready to accomplish something really wonderful here. So I'm going to keep on going so I can see the mountaintop while I'm in the valley. That's being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and not quitting. And not quitting. A strong Christian doesn't trust his flesh. He understands God's grace that can keep him going. Psalm, if you're strong in the grace of God, you ask the Lord to teach you during the hard times. Listen to this verse. Are you ready? Psalm 119:71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. God, the pain was good. I've gone to that verse so many times. God, it was good. You know what affliction is? It's not just pain. It's prolonged pain. It's pain that you wake up tomorrow morning thinking about. It's the burden, it's the heartache that just keeps on going. And God says here, it was good that I was afflicted. Because it was in those times God taught me His Word. And God showed me what a wonderful Savior He is. And how close He is to me in my heartbreak. It is good for me that I was afflicted. How about this? I'd like you to take your Bible and go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Almost done with this point. James chapter 1. If you're strong in the grace of God, if you're strong, you ask the Lord to show you why it's happening. James chapter 1. Look at verse number 1. James, right back there past Hebrews, James chapter 1, verse 1. Ready? James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Why are they scattered? Because they're being persecuted. The whole book is to persecuted Christians. to those that are being chased like animals and hiding out in caves, to those that are scattered abroad, greeting. Then look at verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this first, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We use that verse to say, how do you get God's wisdom? Well, God says in James 1, if any lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. But the context of that verse is this. When you are scattered and in affliction and in trials and in hard times, ask God for wisdom to understand what's going on. That's the context of the verse. Because you see, trials and temptations and tragedies, okay, I'm not supposed to respond to everything, but dear God, show me what to do. If God's spanking you, you're supposed to knock it off. Right? If God's chastening you or spanking you, then you stop. But if God is using it to make you stronger, then you persevere and you keep on going and you don't let anything stop you. You understand? And I've watched some Christians, they're getting spanked by God, but they think they have no wisdom. They think God is trying to, you know, I just need to keep going for God. God's trying to get your attention. Stop! But you, oh, I can keep on. Stop! You ask for wisdom in the trial. God, what are you doing in my life? Show me your wisdom. And then sometimes, I've watched Christians, God brings a trial in their life to make them stronger. Well, this hard time happened because I'm getting spanked. And then they stop. When they should have kept on going. No, you keep on going. You push through it. You don't quit. You don't. God's trying to help you. You can't see. They didn't ask for wisdom. They foolishly handled their hard time. You understand? And watch this. The only person that knows that's you. The context of the verse is when the hard times happen and when the heartbreak happens and you don't know why, then go to God and in faith ask Him for the wisdom. God, help me to see why you're doing this. What do you want me to do? And if it's a trial meant to make you stronger, then keep on marching, Christian. Don't quit. Don't quit. And God says, you know why I'm doing this. I'm taking off my belt. You're getting it, boy. Then you stop. Then you stop it. You understand? That's the grace of God. The grace of God teaches me, if God's chasing me, I need to stop. If God's strengthening me, then I need to persevere through the hard time. Number next, a strong Christian. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 119, 165. A strong Christian is not easily offended. A strong Christian is not easily offended. I didn't say a bad Christian. I think a weak Christian is easily offended. And I'll show you why here, but look at Psalm 119, verse 165. If you don't have this memorized, you ought to. It's a good short verse to memorize, okay? Help you feel good about your Bible memory, okay? Great peace have they which love thy law. Psalm 119, verse 165, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace. The more you love the Word of God, the more peace you have and the less things upset you. Do you understand? Look, and there's no such thing as somebody that doesn't get mad over something. I've met men like that. I think they had tired blood. Do you understand? Okay? You gotta be passionate about something. Do you understand? This isn't say lay down and let your whole life be a nap. You know what I mean? It is saying, great peace have they which love thy law. The more you love the Bible, the more peace of God, the more you learn your Bible. Amen? The more you love your Bible, the peace of God comes, and then it says, and nothing shall offend. The word offend, look it up sometime. It means to stumble or to fall in duty, to fail in duty. It means to strike your foot against and trip. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall make them trip up. Nothing will cause them to stumble. Have you ever noticed when somebody gets your goat, it normally messes up your whole day? You're like, man, I didn't see that log there. Whenever you are offended, sometimes I've known some people it'll mess up their whole week. I've known some people it'll mess up their whole year. God teaches us that if you want to avoid being offended, you need to love the Bible and you need to love the person and give them the benefit of the doubt. Strong Christians love the Bible and they're not offended. Do you understand? They don't get easily ticked off. Man, that just gets my goat. Rubs me the wrong way. Puts a burr under my saddle. And watch this. With those people, no one gets the benefit of the doubt. Anytime something bad happens, immediately they automatically, I know why that happened. And they go right to the negative. Nobody gets the benefit of the doubt. Do you love your Bible? I didn't ask if you read your Bible. Or do you love your Bible? Then love your Bible, love other people, and give them the benefit of the doubt. How come every time something happens, I know why they did that. Did you ask them? No, but I know. Really? Oh, yeah, they're trying to do something for themselves. Did you ask them that? Are you positive that's why they're... I just know. I've seen this. You don't love the Bible. You're too easily offended. I think it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing in the Christian life when you train yourself to assume... Look, when you train yourself to assume the best, not the worst, I know why they did that. No, you don't either. You mind reader? Is that a pill you took or what? I can tell what they're thinking. Really? What vitamins you taking? Give me some of them. Well, on second thought, I don't want them. Please be careful. An easily offended person carries their feelings on their sleeves and they always have their mind on themselves. So instead of loving the Bible, watch this, they judge everybody like they are because they're the only person they know. Well, I know why they're doing that. And really what they're saying is, when I did that, I did it for this reason, so they have to be doing it too. And they judge everybody by themselves. They are the standard for what's right and what's wrong. I know why you did that. You mean you did that at one time and you think everybody's like you. Aren't you glad everybody's not like you? I'm glad everybody's not like me. I'm glad. Be careful, Christian. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Well, I can take it. Nothing shall offend them. You mean even nothing shall offend them. Nothing does. When you find yourself, that person just really torques me off. Careful, Christian, then maybe do one of two things. Either go run to your Bible or read Matthew 18, 15 through 18 and go ahead and go to the person and just tell them. Where did they wrong you? And treat them like the Lord. Understand? And quit being so offended. A strong Christian would never... I think this is one of the evils of Facebook and social media. A strong Christian would never put an offense on the internet. Or a differ with another Christian. Are you kidding me? I'm amazed at what people put on the stupid thing. I mean, they put themselves pictures, selfies, sinning. Did you do this? Oh, how'd you find out? You put it on Facebook. Oh yeah, I forgot. You're a dum-dum. You told the whole world. Well, oh yeah. What, were you drunk? Probably. I wish you weren't, but I'm just saying. And I'm amazed. I would never put any difference that I had with any other... I'm careful at what I put. But I don't want things going all over the world. Your different, my differences with another brother should never go on the internet. I got so mad one time. I sat down on my computer. This is a couple years ago. And I'd always heard this wisdom by an older preacher. When you get ticked off at somebody, sit down, write a letter, print it off, and put it in your desk and just keep it there. Don't ever send it. So I did. Let me tell you something. I'm going to... Print. Did it. Folded it. Put it in an envelope. I'm going to send it. I'm just not going to send it today. Put it in the drawer. Then 2 days later, read it. 3 days later, read it again. 2 weeks go by. Man, I'm glad I didn't send that letter. If it's that bad, sit down and write the letter and then put it somewhere and don't send it. But don't do that. Don't put your trash on the internet, for crying out loud. Especially, they mark your church. They mark everything. Yeah, I knew he was that way. Don't get around them. That's how they deal with it. Great peace have they which love thy law. A strong Christian would never put something offensive on the internet. Let me just end this point with this. Romans 16 says this. You can take it so far. Be careful. God says in Romans 16, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. If somebody's that contrary, and somebody is that sideways, swollen, and ticks you off all the time, then learn to stay away from them. God says, mark them which cause divisions. Find those that are contentious. Every time you get around them, they always got something negative to say. I don't like so-and-so. Do you like that? Man, I don't know. I feel like there's... It just ticks me off. Mark them and stay away from them. I like what one lady said. She came to the... I'll never forget it, and I won't tell you any more about her, but she was a sweet Christian lady. I'll never forget it, at the end of a church service, she just wept at the altar and wept and wept. And then a couple days later, she told me and my wife what she was weeping over. She said, I'm just so tired of being a negative person. I have not filtered what comes out of my mouth. And she said, I'm just so sick of my life. She changed. She let God ring her bell. And she yielded to the Holy Spirit. Great peace have they which love thy law. A strong Christian is not easily offended. And a strong Christian knows how to get back up when he falls. Can we just go to Proverbs chapter 24? Look at Proverbs 24. Two more. Proverbs 24, look at verse number 16. How do you judge a strong Christian? Well, they're strong because the Bible they know. I've known people that know the Bible and don't live it. That's the most dangerous part of a singer. They can get up and move you emotionally, and you think they're a wonderful Christian because they gave you a warm feeling. Do you know how many in the CCM movement have left and went becoming homosexuals? Do you know how many in the CCM movement in the contemporary Christian music, they said after the concert, they were sleeping with other women they weren't married to? The most dangerous part of a singer is they can move you. I didn't say everybody that sings is immoral. Listen to me. Pastor said, I'm telling you the most dangerous part of a singer is if you allow them to move you. Oh, I love their music. They're a great Christian. And you never checked them out. You never went soul winning with them. You don't know the church they go to. You don't know if they tithe. You don't know. You don't know. But you'll let them move you. Same thing. Oh, that person knows the Bible. Gorbachev knew the Bible. Remember the guy with the birthmark on half of his head? Uglier than mud fence. You remember from Russia? Did you know he had the whole New Testament memorized? He had a photographic memory. He was communist. He was not saved. He's in hell today. Oh, that person knows the Bible. Do they live the Bible? Do you understand? Be careful, Christian. What we use to judge is a strong Christian. Oh, they're a strong Christian. Are they easily offended? Are they always ticked off at somebody? How do they handle hard times? Do they keep on going? It doesn't mean they're bad, but how do you mark a strong Christian? How do you mark a strong Christian? A strong Christian, Proverbs 24:16. Ready? A just man, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. This teaches me a strong Christian knows how to get back up when he falls. I've always judged the strength of my Christian life by how long it takes me to get up when I fail the Lord. You say, everybody does that. Everybody does not do that. I've watched some Christians, they get discouraged because of their failure, and then they get out of church, and they literally become a statistic. No, everybody doesn't keep on going. And this verse has meant a lot to a lot of wonderful people. A just man, a saved man, falls seven times, and rises up again. How long does it take you to recover when you're convicted and you know you failed the Lord? Not if you fall, when you fall. Not if I fall, I have fallen. And you know, sometimes the beauty of falling is you get to get up back higher. If you'll do it right, you can get back higher than you were before you fell. Not immediately. The hardest part. What's the hardest part of a Christian coming back after they fall? Depends on how hard they fell. Depends on how far they fell, right? But the hardest part about coming back is normally most Christians always want to start right where they left off. They don't want to start over. Right? They want everything they had before they fell. No. Start over. This morning we had the Sunday school lesson in Micah, and I'm not going to have you turn to it, but I love Micah 7, and I read it to our Sunday school class. But rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against Him. Micah said, don't you laugh at me when I fall. I'm going to get back up. But all of us have things that we struggle in as we grow in the Lord. Don't let it discourage you. A strong Christian, when they fall, they know how to own it. Right? You get up quicker when you don't blame others. Well, if it wasn't for so-and-so, no, it was your fault. You sinned. You failed the Lord. Own it. That's what Micah said. I have sinned against the Lord. Then you do what? Be nice if you could maybe read Psalm 51. Be merciful unto me, O God. I have sinned against Thee. Then go to Romans chapter 7, where you see, there's no good thing that dwelleth in me. It is not me that sin lies in me, and I see my nature, I see what I am. Then go to 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And it's not an eraser so I can do it again. It's an eraser so I can get back up. I confessed it, I owned it, and dear God, help me not to do it again. How long does it take you to recover? A strong Christian doesn't let their sin keep them down. You understand? A just man falls seven times, then get back up. That's what the blood's all about. That's what the blood's all about. I know I failed, but He doesn't know. Do you understand? He said, your sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. You're clean with me. Now get up and walk with me. How long does it take you to recover? Because some Christians don't. Some Christians, their failure gets them out of church and they won't keep going. A strong Christian knows how to get back up when he falls. And finally, a strong Christian, would you go to Proverbs chapter 18? Actually, you go to James chapter 3 and I'll go to Proverbs 18. James chapter 3. This is the final point tonight. A strong Christian can control their tongue. You go to James chapter 3. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'd like to point it out to you. I want you to see one thing there. You're going to James 3. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. A strong Christian can control their tongue. I know some Christians, literally, they do not even think what comes out of their mouth. They walk into a room, oh, what'd you decorate it this way for? Do you know what that does to the spirit of the... Did you yield to the Holy Spirit before you talked? Oh, that tablecloth. Oh, I hate that color. Do you hate that color? How many here hate this color? I'm sitting here going, do you not understand how your mouth is affecting everybody around you? A strong Christian does not shoot their mouth off. Doesn't the Bible say, a fool uttereth all his mind? You see me, it's what you get. I just speak my mind, brother. I'm glad you do. But I hope you're yielded to the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to say, shut up. Amen. Shut your mouth. Have you thought? I mean, and then you watch. Then you watch the whole spirit of the whole thing go. The spirit of the whole place goes down. When somebody does this in church, I walk in. Man, what stinks in here? What stinks? And then they start advertising, and the ushers are working real hard. Well, you can sit right here, and you can sit here, and then Brother Keith, he gets up in front of the lead songs, and everybody's going, yeah, something does stink in here. And he's got to work harder as a song leader. Come on, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And he's trying to pull everybody along, because somebody walked in and shot their mouth off. Amen. A good Christian, a strong Christian, understands controlling their tongue. They don't shoot off everything they say. They think, how will this affect everybody around me? How will this affect? Look at James chapter 3. Ready? Look at verse number 8. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I do want you to see this. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So, first of all, everybody, unless you work at controlling your tongue, you don't control it. Do you understand? This is, nobody accidentally is a good Christian with their mouth. You have to work on it, because your tongue, my tongue, is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. You say, you picked on Brother Garland tonight. If I didn't pick on Brother Garland, he wouldn't think I loved him. Amen? And watch this. It wasn't malicious. We had fun this morning in Sunday school. And I can tease him about 7:30 Friday. Right? 7:30. That's right. Just keep thinking that. Write it down. That's good. And I can tease him about that. But I'm not out to hurt him. Do you understand? And I can use it to kind of lighten things up. But I don't want him to feel like he's the blunt of my joke either. I don't want him to feel like, well, I've got to go to church and get made fun of again. That would hurt people, wouldn't it? That would hurt people. I'll joke. We'll have a good time. I can make light. But I really do think about what I say. I put it in the stuff that I do. I don't just shoot my mouth off. I think about it. Here God says, the tongue no man tame. Look at verse number... let's just read verse 9 and 10. Ready? Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. A strong Christian works at controlling their tongue. They do not speak their mind. What I'm about to say, I'm going to make mention of this too. I don't like whispering in a room with people, because it makes nobody feel welcome. Especially when we have visitors in church and they're walking in and you're like this. It automatically tells everybody, stay away. If I wanted you in the conversation, I'd talk loud enough for you to hear. I'd be very careful about the whispering. I don't like it in church. If you can't say it honestly, amen. If you can't say it to everybody, then should you be saying it? Should you be getting your frustrations out with everybody? You're poisoning things. Do you understand? Your tongue, your mouth, your actions, your thoughts. Ready? Watch this. I'm going to finish reading this, because this ends up in an absolutely, praise God, it's the Word of God. Look at verse number 11. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet and bitter water? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man? Here's wisdom. And endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Watch this. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, what wisdom? Bitter envying and strife descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. In other words, satanic. And watch this. This isn't God talking to a bunch of lost people. Y'all need to watch them out. This is God talking to Christians. Amen? A strong Christian. What's it say? I will put a guard over my mouth. so that I don't transgress against the Lord. I watch. Dear God, help my mouth. Lord, don't let me say anything that would hurt somebody. You say, you're a preacher. This is for Christians. This is for Christians. Because if we get that bitter envying and strife, I don't like this. Do you like this? I don't. You like that? I don't like that. Oh, this is just horrible. It's from hell. Be careful, Christian. Tonight I wanted to give you, what does a strong Christian do? A strong Christian understands the weakness of his flesh. A strong Christian relies on the grace of God so that in his weakness he can be made strong. A strong Christian is not easily offended. A strong Christian knows how to get back up when he falls. And a strong Christian controls his tongue. If I just ask you tonight, I don't want you thinking about anybody else, but how strong are you? And I'm going to make a statement as a pastor. I've watched some people boast of their Christianity, and I'm not saying this to hurt anybody, but they ain't that strong. Knowing the Bible is wonderful. It enables you to live the Bible, but it doesn't mean you live what you know. Be careful. How do you analyze a strong Christian? Be careful. All I want you tonight is to analyze yourself. How strong are you as a Christian? Let's pray. Father, please, I pray that, Lord, you could use this tonight. And Lord, help us to set the right goals in our lives. And Lord, where we're weak, help us, Father, please, according to Thy Word, to strengthen ourselves. For you, I pray, please, in the right way, not with pride, not with arrogance, but dear Lord, I pray, help each person here to be strong in you and in the power of your might and in your grace in Christ Jesus.